I am unashamed. What about you?
All right, so we're back in the Unashamed Command Center, which is now the Unashamed Quarantined Command Center.
Yeah, we thought about practicing social distancing, but I'm like, you know.
Well, I figure our, you know, we've been running around this river down here for 50 years, you know, whatever we got, we get together. So
it's like I told my
wife. We're down to one crew today, so we're
you know, we're denned up at our houses like a bunch of raccoons. And, you know, it's been pretty positive when it comes to intimacy with the wife, because it's kind of like these people in these real winter cultures, you know, during there's you get to looking around and like, well,
procreation rate rises.
Well, you know, there's, you know, in about 9 months, there's going to be like the next baby boom generation. It's
going to
be the corona boom. Somebody told me when I said that. Somewhere they said, yeah, they're going to call them coronials.
Yeah. Well, read our we had an email from a viewer I want to address.
Yeah, so this is good. So this is in reference to something we talked about before.
Romantic. When I gave the romantic idea.
Yeah. So James sent this to me this last weekend. I sent it to Jace. It said, last Saturday, being house restricted due to the virus, my wife asked for some help, and I said, what do you want me to do? And she said, just dust mop the house, then wet mop the house, plus clean the bathrooms. So she'd give him a little job to do. While she bakes treats for
I've never been given that instruction from your mother.
This already.
Well, Phil, here's what you do. You go in there. What was his agenda? What was it?
But look, when I was reading this, I didn't know what was going to happen. When that began like that, I thought this is not going to end well.
Well, let me read on. So she's baking treats for their grandkids because everybody's housebound. And he said, I heard Pastor Jimmy Evans, who's a guy from Dallas that does a lot of marriage stuff, the marriage preacher is what he called him, time and time again preach on when men help around the house, they'll never be more appealing, sexier than when they do housework. So that's what Jimmy Evans has been preaching.
So housework is bringing forth arousal.
Well,
I've never put those two things together.
I mean, just keep on.
All right. So it says, now he gives their age. He said, we're in our mid to late 50s. She's a very hot, redheaded Mimi, whatever that means. And he said, but I remember Jace's story when I heard Pastor Evans say, not only do I dry mop, wet mop, and clean all the bathrooms, but I'm going to bleach the floor, countertop the bathrooms with a scrub brush, blue towel, white grout. He went all in because he's thinking about Jace's story.
He was thinking, if I go the second mile,
exactly,
I might get
this payout. Will pay rich dividends.
This may cause a sprint to happen later.
Here's what he said: my bathrooms now shine like diamond in a goat's butt.
Yeah,
which I thought that. I never heard that said before. That's pretty good.
This guy needs to be a stand-up comedian.
He does. So then he says, then I went to the other bathroom. I stripped down to my shorty shorts. I bleached the shower with the hot water. A 2,100-plus square foot house, completely clean. We dropped off the baked goods to the grandkids at the back porch. We head back to the house. She looks at the shiny bathrooms, the clean house, and says, are you ready for bed? He said, I'm thinking payoff time. Mm-hmm. We hop in bed. We hold hands. We say our prayers. She says good night, rolls over, and she's asleep in 2 minutes. Then he said, oh, well, at least we have a clean house.
So.
You know, it almost makes you feel sorry for these poor souls. Son.
So, here, look, I read this, and we wanted to, you know, stop what we normally do here because, look, you've misunderstood what I conveyed. Here was the problems, in my opinion, on why this didn't work. Number one, this was her idea, not yours. You know, he took, well, I'm going to go the second mile. So what I was interjecting was this is something you create as far as a challenge where your wife is now in limbo, relaxing, and then you go out catch the fish. You conquer the land. You're being the conqueror. You come back. You do all the dirty work that she can't do. And then you create something beautiful, which is a great meal, which is better
than... I'm listening to you talk. I think what you need to do... What was the guy's name?
James.
I believe you and James need to get together and write a book.
So that's number one. Number two, here's the number two mistake he made. I noticed he put the reference in. He stripped down to his shorty shorts and did the... Okay, when you're that age, that's not appealing.
That's
because she probably walked by and saw you in your shorty shorts doing your manual labor. And look, that is called a turn off. You probably perspired during all this. Look, which is mistake number three. Now you stink.
I think he was James, you were a little confused, son, on arousal. I think maybe that's where you went wrong.
No, I'm just saying, look, women, I've had this conversation with men before.
I mean, scrubbing the floor in your underwear, I just don't think maybe that's the best way to go as far as arousal is concerned.
No, that's what I'm saying. He lost it on the way to what in his mind he thought, oh, I'm serving. But you got to remember, she's not looking at it like that. It was her idea. She basically just got more out of you than what she was after. I mean, that was a complete disaster other than your house is clean.
He's got a really clean house.
Well, yeah.
And in the coronavirus era, that's probably not a bad thing.
This is not romance is what I'm saying. There's a thin line between being the romantic and just getting bludgeoned by your wife and taken advantage of. I mean, that's what happened here. I mean, look, it's all fun and love and, you know, it's going to be okay. But I just wanted to say what I recommended is not this.
Well, I'm on record as saying my studied opinion regarding females, wives, I'm just being nice. I just have concluded from observing, living with y'all's mother, you know, about 50 something since she was 14, so that's been about 50, somewhere now, over 50.
I've just
concluded that when God made women in Genesis, he made a strange creature. I just keep it like that where people say, I wonder what he meant by that. That's kind of what I meant by that. You know, a guy's in there scrubbing the floor. He's got one thing on his mind, his woman. No, she's just working him like a slave and using the dude.
Yeah, that's basically what happened.
James, I could not wait to read your letter and get the commentary because I knew it was going to be great. It made my weekend. You know, I've been trying to catch up on all my emails, which, by the way, I'm finally caught into March, so those of you who are still waiting, I'm getting there. I'm going to get to you at some point, so just so you know.
I thought that was interesting, but I'll tell you this. Yesterday, we had Willie had a little fishing tournament down at his pond, and so most everyone in our neighborhood, you know, we're family, and everybody's been house quarantined.
Right.
And so it was actually fun. It was, you know, we were going to practice social distancing, but, you know, we're all fishing, all the fish are right under the bridge because everybody's got Christmas trees under the bridge. So we kept gathering up. I was like, what happened to this social distancing stuff?
Out the window when there's fishing.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't understand what you just said. You tie a weight on a Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. The weight pulls a Christmas tree down to the bottom of the lake. And that little debris there, that little brush field, it draws crappie in and around it because little stuff gets up in there, little mm-hmm. minnows and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that, so it's a sort of a... It's a little trick that
thanks
people
for the
in the South
redneck use. Clarification on what that look every year after Christmas, me and most of my friends, we drive around looking for Christmas trees because they are the perfect crappie magnet.
Yep.
So
the density of them.
We did that, but I was amazed at how many people, because now I guess people are, even in my family, they're listening to our podcast just because they literally have nothing else to do, I guess.
By the way, for all you listeners out there, these hard times under quarantine, if you under quarantine yourself and you go on steroids as far as shelter in place, social distancing, we put that into play years and years ago. Like today, the menu consists of Dan had to get to the Brooks and Walmart. What's the Sam's Club where they have very, very good meat. So he's up there before they open. So he's first in the line to get tenderloin. That's coming up in the next couple of days. Mm-hmm. Today, we will suffice on fried crappie, blackened crappie, mm-hmm. fresh caught right out of Stone caught them.
Yeah, he caught. You know, we caught them yesterday too in the fishing.
So what
term.
I'm saying is, y'all are saying, boy, how hard are times down there, Phil, because y'all are under lockdown and all that. I'm just giving you a sampling of the menu, like fried crappie today, blackened crappie tomorrow. There's
I've eaten
tenderloin.
Crappie. Look, every other day for
we
the
don't
last
go to town.
Weeks.
We have individuals that are a little bit weird at best. But
well, not we. That's one. You.
Yeah, I've got a.
I go to Taylor. I just came from there.
I still do Taylor.
And it actually seemed normal. My point was at the fishing tournament, that was the number one thing people asked about was the romantic interlude of catching the fish. Because I was down there fishing and Missy came to watch because, you know, we all came together.
That's why you and James need to get together. That's,
we got a
you've
book.
Got it down. Let me go catch a few crappie. No telling what that'll open up. I mean, you know, I just never put them two things together, James.
I'm trying to teach you. It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. And this, it's right here in front of you, and you're dismissing it. You're missing it. This will work. Yeah. Women like men.
Well, both of you sitting there, you came here. From the act of procreation on me and Miss K, your mother's part. And trust me when
thanks
I tell you that cleaning
that.
The bathroom never come up
well,
before all this happened.
When you're younger, you know, things just happen. But I'm saying as you get older, you need to create some romance.
Every
That's
time,
all I was saying.
Every time Jay tells that story in my mind, I remember we were in Mexico one time and I was watching a male peacock, you know, trying to impress a female peacock. It's quite the show. He plumed out all those, you know, that's why they look the way they plumed out those feathers and he was strutting around, you know, and he'd jump up and fly, you know, and get up close to her. And every time I think about that, I think about Jace, like in his mind, you know, working all this up where he's doing all this and he's like that male
is
peacock.
Is there a negative there?
No, not at all. It's a ritual. You're a peacock. You're a male peacock.
Yeah. A strutting peacock, but you're out there actually with a hook and a line. Fishing around a Christmas tree, you beard, trying to catch a few crappie, thinking somehow that's going to, you know, sauce up your sex life. You're on the wrong road, Jay.
No, it is. Look, it's going to sauce up your sex life, and you have a great excuse to go fishing. That's the part you're not getting. She's not saying, "Oh, how come you're going fishing again?" That's what most people are struggling with.
So
maybe
you're locked down.
Maybe I should have detailed this before.
You want the audience to know you spend. He spends most of his time on the, watching the computer screen, the stock market going up and down.
Let me say this. Look,
then he goes over and catches a few crappie and works in a little. That's the foreplay, whatever. And then I'm beginning to get a fix on how you're escaping the world and you are under quarantine.
This is
days.
The real world. Let me explain the real world. Goodness. Most men, because I've talked to them. They say, man, how do you, my wife's griping about me hunting and fishing. My wife never said a word because somehow my wife is convinced that I'm out there when I'm fishing, I'm out there for her.
Thinking about her.
Because she's like, he's going to cook me those fish and they're delicious. It's better than any restaurant. And then she sees
it's
all
a,
the
it's
work.
That's a pretty slick trick on your part.
So I'm
Jace,
just saying.
You may be overplaying that. That may be a broad brush. Your wife calls hunting season the ordeal. I mean, that's her label.
She puts
for
up with hunting season, but I consider fishing, you know, a hobby because, you know, hunting, I'm working here.
Well, one thing's
for sure. We make duck calls, but fishing, I like to fish.
Well, here's the thing. Fishing produces a much better product, unfortunately,
no doubt.
Than hunting.
I mean, I like ducks.
I do too, but they're not near as good as a crappie or an op. You know, I mean, the results are better.
I was just clarifying that.
Good duck gumbo is hard to beat.
And for all the emails saying, well, I can't believe y'all are talking about sex. God invented sex, the greatest sex on earth. We've said this before.
And you have orders from headquarters, be fruitful and multiply.
Which is good.
There you go.
And you don't have to clean
orders from headquarters.
Where I came in is I feel like what's lacking in men is the romance factor. So I just thought I'd share that, and it's a way to win.
So what's been
what he sent is not that has nothing to do with what I was talking about.
Longer just working, Jay. Longer just working.
So it's interesting because Dad's life in the quarantine is interesting because we're not only doing our podcast obviously, but then on your show in the woods with Phil, we're doing for 2 months and in the quarantine with Phil, which has been very interesting. So we've been doing a lot of ad stuff and, you know, which is interesting. So, you know, if you want to check that out, it's on Blaze TV. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
So anyway, in the woods with Phil's now in the quarantine, but it's really funny, Dad, because you basically some of the stuff we just talked about with the little trick for the crappie fishing, how to crawfish, how to put a hoop net in the river, canning tomatoes and, you know, food.
Jellies,
beans. So it's kind of the way you grew up, and we did too. I mean, I remember a lot of it. We just don't practice as much, but I really want to know that myself. Because look at the whole thing. We see now how fragile things can be. I mean, look what the pandemic has done. So, you know, something like this happens and it's more menacing than this even. You could see the whole thing going, you know.
People who live off the land, not much changes, you know. I mean, it's like I was talking about the fishing tournament. Well, I mean, there was 30 people out there. Most of them were yuppies. I dominated the fishing tournament. Yeah, and they were looking, oh, he's got another one. Well, that's a big one. I mean, what is the secret? I'm looking at them there. I mean, there were people breaking poles, line tangled up, tree limbs. I was just like, you know, we were dependent on some of these people eating fish, we would die.
Oh, what are you talking about? Right,
exactly. You know what I mean? Well, and that's what unfortunately happened. So Stone was saying when he went to Caney, he took your buddy, you know, one of the twins.
Wash him. I like that.
But the problem was Stone told him, he said, look, it's going to take me a while to find him. But he said, but I will find him. Well, Washam, you know, he had other plans. So he left. They had caught a fish.
Yeah.
And so about 2 o'clock, Jay said, he finally found him. He said, then it was ever cast until he got all he wanted. Every single cast. Yeah. When he found them, of course, you know, those ones in Caney, I mean, we're talking about 2.5 pounders, mm-hmm. which we'll eat the fruit of that for lunch today, which is...
You got to ride the whole...
You got to ride
it. Do it. Now, look, you brought up the stock market. We're getting a lot of messages, people, because they know I'm in the stock market. Of course, I've gotten everything from get out of there to, but you know, I've gotten books about, you know, investing in alternative ways, which has all been interesting. But look, here's today. I don't know what today. I don't know when people will listen to this.
It'll be air next week. So, maybe Sunday. Okay.
So today, what is today? I have no idea. That's the deal about being quarantined.
I have no idea.
You don't know.
Me either.
I think it's Thursday.
I think my wife said last night. She said this quarantine is kind of like going in, you know, to a casino. You don't know what time it is.
That's right.
You don't know how much money you're losing. You know what I mean?
No clocks.
Yeah.
And so it's a bizarre world. But anyway, this is the third day. You know, the stock market plunges. And so everybody panics, in the world. Jays don't panic because this is now everything's on sale. So I'm buying. When everybody's just, you know, they call it blood in the streets, you know. That's when you're out there buying. You're buying stuff way cheaper. For an example, this is just off the top of my head. I bought Lowe's. You're familiar with a Lowe's, Phil? $60 a share. It was the lowest it had been in like 10 years. Well, now the stock market the last 3 days has gone just like this, skyrocketed. So in 3 days, I bought lows at 60. I think this morning when I looked at it before I came in, it was like 95. Well, do the math. I mean, in 3 days, $35 a share. I mean, because it lows, that was too cheap. So what I'm saying is, if you've missed that, I don't know what today is, but look back and see where it went up 3 days in a row. Well, you missed it. It's too late now.
Yep.
Now it's gone back. You should have been buying, you know, when everybody was like, oh, panic selling. Because as investors who are not affiliated with some kind of company, I invest myself, you have to be a day or two ahead of everybody else because we don't have the equipment. We don't have the speed. When everybody's buying, well, it's too late. You know, you by the time you get in there, there's no longer on sale. So I was actually kind of happy. So that's my stock market tips. You do your research. You got to put the time in to know the companies. That way, when you're in the battle and everybody's selling, you're so intimate based on research with these companies, you can just, you know what to buy. You know, I bought like Coca-Cola.
Got to remember, Jace. Just so you'll know, I mean, I know you're speaking for the audience, but I don't do stock markets.
I'm trying to explain it to you, and
so you're talking to me right now, and it's just right over my head. I'm like,
well, what's that's why he I brought up Lowe's. You seen a Lowe's store? Coca-Cola. How
not,
about that?
Not recently. Coca-Cola. So, I mean, you got to remember, Jace, you're talking to a man who does not get to town very often.
Unless it's on his route to where he meets, that's the only way he's going to.
Well, let me give you an example.
We meet with the homeless and others, the brothers, sisters, once a week. That's out now. So,
yeah.
But we're staying with them. The food's still coming out of there. They're being a little more cautious as far as hygiene and all.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still getting food out to the homeless brothers that we meet with.
Mm-hmm.
So,
let me tell you my logic. Take a company like Stanley Black & Decker. They were like $180 a share before this crash. Well, all of a sudden, market crashes, coronavirus. Well, it gets down to about $80. And I'm like, well, it was $180, you know, $170, $180. Well, are people going to quit using tools? So you see what I mean? So I'm like, you know what? It's $100 cheaper. I'm going to buy that.
So you do reason in your thinking as to the nature of the company and what
no
they
doubt.
Do, right?
There's a lot of factors, but most of the companies I own... it's stuff that's not rocket science.
I would think that would be unless you just lose your shirt, I would think that would be some form of to quell boredom. Jace has come up with a little scheme out of the stock market. It keeps him from being as bored as he normally would be.
Well, I'm
serious.
it's good investment. You're being a good steward. I mean, you're investing in companies.
I think that Fox Business isn't a great opportunity. We talked about this when we met Stuart Varney when we did his show last year, that they should hire Jace because they would draw in a whole another audience. Like, you know, the guy on Fox, the big black guy that has the glasses, and he's always got the impeccable suits. Yeah. Now, everybody's got a look, the stock look. But if Jace rolled in there and started laying his stuff out there, it would be a whole new audience.
I think they need a redneck voice on it, a common sense, just the common man. Because it's a lot like duck hunting. You got to put the time in, put the scouting. Most people say, oh, yeah, I want to get in the stock market. I'm like, do you have a lot of time? Because if you don't, stay away.
That's right.
Because that's all
it
is.
That's why I don't want to do it.
Yeah, you got to be watching it. You know, I told you about buying Lowe's so cheap. I just happened to be looking at it. You know, I bought it at 60. About 5 minutes later, it was like 67.
Took off. Nightmarish to me, but that's just me.
It makes my head hurt.
It's good, clean fun.
It makes my head hurt. I look for two things. I look at the bottom thing, and is the arrow up or arrow down? Just to kind of know where we're doing that day, and that's my interest level is right there, and then it just.
So then I'm gonna recommend y'all need to stay away.
Yeah, yep. We don't. Yep. You know,
I've taken your advice.
That's why we have you, Jace.
I brought it up because I think during this coronavirus, there are more people interested in that because they're at home, looking, but don't dip your toe in the water. You know, I'm not a big fan of these conglomerate stock because they're like, give us your money, and then. You know, we'll take care of you. But all they're going to do is put the money in the stock market and forget about it. because they don't have time to look at everyone's individual account.
I got you.
I mean, during the past 2 weeks, I've spent hours and hours because it's so volatile.
Only Jace could do that. See what I'm saying, Dad? It was like you and I could never do that.
It's a game. It's a big game, but there's real money involved.
Yeah.
So I'm saying you can be successful, but you got to put the time in. So now, you know, all my buddies are calling me like, what do you think about this? And I'm like.
That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you. Fox Business is whoever's listening out there. This is your guy right now. This is a show that would work.
I don't mind doing it. You know, they're like, what about this stock? And I'm like, I just sent them a text, thumbs down. They're like, what about this?
The difference between your mindset and my mindset is the goal from the beginning, go back from society a little bit, pull back, get out in the middle of nowhere, you know, the closest house a mile away, and you get there, lock gates, I mean, you know, video surveillance. So we're down, I'm just down here surviving. So the difference between you and me is I've got a stash that I've made. It worked, the duck call industry and the TV show and all that. So I'm sitting on a stash. It pays a little interest, but not much. But I don't have to hit a lick at a snake. I don't owe anybody anything, not one dime do I owe.
What is hitting a lick at a snake? What is that?
That means
he doesn't have to work.
That means,
although he's working all the time.
You're supposed to be retired. You're 73 years old.
Yeah.
That's correct. But I'm still talking to this audience here. You say, interest is not in, let me make some more money. It's just, I've made enough, Jace. I made enough.
I get it.
I pulled it off. I don't owe anybody anything. I don't have no debt, none, zero. And I don't want to say, well, let me make some more.
You know what's weird?
How much do you want?
Hold your thought. Let's take a break, and then you can give them your answer.
You know what's weird about this is I'm not doing it for the money, even though it is profitable. You know, you're investing your money. What's the story in the Bible where Jesus told?
He never has seemed to be the kind that would chase the dollar bills. So
not that. It's more the competition of it all. Right. It's kind of fun.
It's like a dollar in Nassau in golf. I mean, it ain't that. It's just a ham. It's not the money, but the competition, the idea that, hey, this is worth
it. And if you get into it on the level he is, in other words, in his mind, the pandemic is way far away, Al. His mind is he's under a different mindset. He doesn't have time to be fearful of what if the microbes get me.
If you're going to be quarantined in your house, why not be in the stock market?
I can see
it's a distraction.
It's a good distraction, especially in volatile times. I mean, overall, you're putting the health and well-being of people above that. We're praying for them. We hate what's going on. But you're just sitting there. We're in the house. Everybody's in the house. Okay, everybody get in their house. Well, what are we going to do? I'm like, well, let me learn about these stocks. Now, having said all that, had I known this was going to be take this much work and getting to know the companies, I would have never done it. I didn't know. I was like, oh, this would probably be easy. Let me take this over. Well, I didn't realize how big a project that is. That's why most people, when they start talking about the stock market, I'm thinking in my mind, clueless. this is easy. Nothing about it's easy. It's the same.
What about
quality
when they run those ads that talk about how easy it is? If you just send us your money,
follow what the insiders are buying. And look, what you got to remember is most of these guys talking on TV saying buy this stock. The only reason. Or they're saying, sell this. They'll say, they'll put a sell alert. And you're like, well, the guy's on TV. I mean, he must be a respected figure. He's wanting you to sell it so he can buy it. he's hustling you. So you're like, sell. And he's like, oh, good.
Jace, you're in a world that I will not enter.
Oh, that's right. You're talking about a bunch of vipers.
Oh, what are you talking about?
That bothers some people. Okay, are there some corruption going on? Well, yeah, that's why they have a group of people locking people up every other day for, all these violations. Oh, yeah. But I, as a Christian, it's like, remember when Jesus, he said what to do with the money? Well, and one of them said, well, shouldn't you at least, put it
He basically said you should have invested it in the stock market.
Invested and made some interest. But, you know, having said that, that's why I want to tell most people, it's okay to give your money, you know, to a stockbroking company. Just remember that
it's biblical.
You're not going to make near as much as if you learned the whole thing yourself and did it. But you'd have to have a lot of time to do that. So don't gripe, because they don't have time to do it. They're not looking at your account saying, oh, all his stocks are falling, we need to do something about that, because they have thousands of accounts. They're just saying, wait for it. Wait for what? It'll go back up. And at the end of the day, it will, and you'll make a little money.
You know, it's interesting you brought that up, that you think about the parables. Because, you know, a lot of times you get this, you know, capitalism. It's not biblical because, you know, it's not compassionate. It doesn't bring people's hardships into play, blah, 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 whatever. But you think about it, when you look at the parables that Jesus taught throughout the Gospels, they are very pro-business. Mm-hmm. Just start thinking about the different ones he talks about. The shrewd manager, the one we just mentioned about the guy with the money, that what are you going to do with it? You should have invested it. They always have a pro-business mindset, even though Jesus was like, hey, I don't even have a place to lay my head. I mean, it wasn't his concern to run a business mm-hmm. while he was here on earth, but his parables are very pro-business, yep. way more they capitalistic yep. than communistic.
What I did, I decided instead of entering the zone that Jace has entered, 1 Thessalonians 4:11, I read that text years ago, and I said, that is my goal. Make it your ambition mm-hmm. to live a quiet life, mind your own business,
yep.
work with your hands doing something that was good so you can share with others, so that you won't have to be dependent on anybody.
Yep.
I read mm-hmm. that. I said, you know, that would be a good way to roll. I took that to heart, Al, way back.
You know,
I've lived by that text ever since, and it was good for me. Yep. You see what I'm saying?
I agree.
Yeah, the story I was talking about is Matthew 25:14-30.
But there are other ways, like Jace is talking about there. There's other paths you can go down.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, Phil, all three of us have been on a couch talking to a couple, and we've run up on, you know, male after male.
Oh, yeah.
Who just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And, you know, you read.
Very prevalent in America. They don't work.
Yeah, they don't work. And so, you know, you read that verse, what you read, but in 1 Timothy 5:7, I think this is 5:8, one of the most profound texts in the Bible.
Hang on. That's a perfect time for a break. We're going to come back to that huge point.
Cliffhanger. 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family,
mm-hmm.
he has, now listen to this, denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
That's bad.
How strong a statement is that?
Yeah,
and about as strong as you can make it.
And by the way, did you see that little reference to providing for your immediate family? We talk about the payoff in more ways than one.
plus, there's something about that. In that particular text, he broadened it, including your kinfolks, Jace.
That's what I'm saying. There's got to be
only your wife and your children. You're kidding, folks. Well,
which has kind of been interesting, because what Jace was describing earlier, and it's the same thing at my house, and I mean, because we're all kind of compounded. We live close to all your sons, and most of us,
yep.
and daughter-in-laws live in close proximity. In situations and times like this, we do rely on each other.
We really do.
And we've talked about before, if it ever got any worse, we'd all come out here to be even further away.
Think about it, Al. Mm-hmm. It's not long, no matter what happens in the world today, but if y'all have noticed, without us even realizing it, we come together as a family group structure, and we confront it, whatever it is,
right.
including a pandemic. We're saying, okay, here we go, let's see. But we look at it as from a group perspective. I've noticed that.
I think another thing.
The Robertson Rally, I call it. We kind of rally together and say, okay.
For most of our life, we had no money. And I made decisions that would not make me more money. You know, and my wife used to just be so frustrated. I think I've shared that before on here. Because I was like, well, I'm happy. I'm not a materialistic person. That's why when you said, why are you on the stock market? But if you read Matthew 25, he gives these three degrees of, you know, one, a guy had a lot of talents, one, you know, some, one, a little. But in each case, his point was it doesn't matter. You take what the Lord has blessed you and you do something with it. You know, you don't go dig a hole. What he did,
productive.
What he didn't like was digging a hole and doing nothing.
That's right.
That's what he got reared up about. Because you know why? That now you're being lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you know, people talk about, you know, is the stock market gambling? And yeah. You know, it is, but it's more about investing in the companies of America. And you, but still, you know, most gambles that I've seen pay off when you put a lot of hard work into it.
By the way, Jace, I've never found the text in all the list of sins from cover to cover. Gambling is not never listed as a sin. Now, do you know of one?
Nope.
I can't believe we've gotten down this road, but I want to bring this up. You know, here's what's weird. You know, I'm a poker player, and I'm not ashamed to say that, but I realize that in the poker world, there's a lot of shady people and characters.
I've never played game.
It is.
I'm 73 and never played a game of cards, Al.
Well, I feel sorry for you. There's a lot of fun that you missed out on.
Don't feel sorry for me. I can still make it without poker.
I know, but it's fun.
Yeah.
But here's what I was going to say. Look, I'm not a gambler. I would never, to me, go to a casino. I don't think there's anything wrong.
Remember,
if you want to use
I'm
that.
Not a gambler, but I play poker. Remember those two.
You are the exact person I want to share this with, because people lump poker with gambling. Bad connection. It's the same people win the World Series of Poker every year. I'm in a poker club. Guess what? The same people win every year. You know why? They're better players. You say, oh, you're just getting lucky. I've been lucky for 30 years.
Jay says it's not gambling if you never lose.
No, that's not what I say. I say it's not gambling if you know you're going to win.
That's what I just said.
Look, I got a
pretty
buddy.
Close to what you said.
Pretty much what I said.
Look, I got a buddy of mine. His name is Barrett. We're real close. I duck hunt with him, you know. And poker came.
But you see the money that, how do you explain the money that is peed in the wind, as I would say, when you go into the boat.
They
got the boat out there. The casinos, Jace, the casinos. I mean, listen.
You jumped to gambling.
There's a lot of money was lost to build a Las Vegas.
Here's why I don't go to
somebody lost, Al.
Look, here's why I don't go to a casino and put money in a slot machine. The odds are in their favor. You're gambling. And if you stay there long, you're going to lose.
That's true.
Because they have.
You remember when we had the big sporting event in Las Vegas, and I walked around and I was observing, because I'm now in a city, so I'm looking around and I'm thinking it took a lot of money to build this thing. I'm looking at Las Vegas walking along. Well, I see all these old women and people, and they have them a stack of coinage, and they're pulling the handle down.
Yeah, I'm not
doing
this.
When I got to the machine and I'm looking at it, where it would take pennies.
Oh yeah, they're the most popular.
Penny. They want you to put your last red cent.
Yeah.
Into this thing. Well, I'm watching that, and someone says, "How much money? Surely Las Vegas clips you for a penny." I never gave them a penny. I was just watching. But under no circumstances would I have ever said, let me just put a pin in
think
this
it's
thing
wise.
And pull the lever and I may get $50. No. Well,
I think you were wise to do that.
I just walked away and said, man.
You actually used this is several years ago, you used the Ross Perot line. You looked around at me and said, Al, I hear a giant sucking sound.
You are correct.
And it's money being pulled
out
of purses.
Let me give you an example.
It took a lot of losers to build Las Vegas.
Look, let me give you an example. In poker, you're playing something. Somebody. You're not playing the odds. You're creating your own odds. You know, my buddy Barrett, he's like, oh, you're a poker player. I'd like to play. I said, you don't want to play me. Now, I wouldn't normally tell a person that, but he's one of my best friends. And he took that to mean like I was trash talking.
That was
and so then that's it. Now, when I went up there, he had the cards and I was like, you don't
want to. He had to know.
I said, you don't want to do this. And he said, I've heard people like you all my life. I was like, you don't want to do this. So look, he lost his first 100. He lost his next 100. He lost another 100. He lost another 100. And I finally said, at what point are you going to figure this out? You're not going
to
win.
Because this will go on to
the said,
thousands.
Oh, no, it'll turn around. You're just getting lucky. And I, when he made that line, I was like, look, I'm going to stop you right there. You're not going to win. Ever. I mean, it was a combination of two things. One, you know, I'm a poker player. I can do this. You're not. Because I could just, guys like him, he's not going to win. He don't understand the game. He doesn't understand. He thinks it's gambling. And so that's what makes a bad poker player. And I see them. And what I was going to tell you is there's people who I see playing poker that shouldn't be. Because they view it as gambling. They're just throwing their money out there and hoping they're going
to
win.
Well, where if they all run this up came on, from, the roots of all this, I want the audience to know, the roots behind this, the genetic makeup. Here's the way it worked. My mother came from a relationship from her mother and a guy that just slicked her, you know, coming mm-hmm. through town, and they had this one-time event,
yeah.
one-time affair. That's from that gentleman is where my mother came from, and when she was about in the ninth grade, somebody ran up and said, that's not your real dad where you are.
Right.
So she gets the news in the ninth grade. It yeah. devastates her. So you say, what was that guy? What was he known for, that guy that just came through? My mother told me this. She said, I've never met him. I don't know where he's from. But everyone said he was a gambler.
Yeah.
So that genetic code passed down, and his offspring.
No!
His offspring.
You've not been listening.
Is sitting at this table.
I'm not a gambler.
It all makes sense.
Genetics.
It's all there.
Genetics.
Look, hold on. We got to take one last break, and then you get to rebut.
Let me give you an example. Look, you're not listening to what I'm saying.
I never put that together.
Can I
before.
Give you an example? All right, let's take bass fishing. All right. They have professional bass fishermen, right? They all go out. Is there luck involved in bass fishing?
Remember, Jay said.
You're not answering the question.
When you're in my world, there are some people, remember Al, yeah. that are shady.
That's true.
That's how he started this conversation.
It's the difference in somebody drinking a glass of wine and getting drunk. You can take anything, and especially when you don't understand it or you want to abuse it. Look, some people should not be playing poker because they don't know how to play. And so they're like, oh, but I got plenty of money. And then they're a bad steward because they're playing with sharks. You know, like me and my friends.
But can you learn how to? I mean, wouldn't you learn by doing?
I mean,
doing?
You can, but look, Al, I've been doing it my whole life. You're not, you know what I mean? Most people, when they play, they're not going to win.
Genes. It's in the
it's
genetic.
It's all in the genetic.
No doubt about it.
They don't understand the game.
You got to know.
And look, here's the deal. Poker, poker and the stock market.
And the gambler died this week.
Look, they're emotional. They trigger emotions because bad things happen, you know, and you become emotional. When fear and greed become involved, or even in the poker sense, when people are scared to lose, like if they come to my game and they're scared about losing that money, oh, they're going to lose because I'm going to use that against them.
I noticed that all the old Westerns and modern day, too, the gangsters and all this stuff, I mean, they show when it got down to a card game, They filmed it every possible conceivable way you could film it, Al, but it was always the old stone face, so they can't tell whether I've really got the cards
or
not.
In the movies, they usually end with somebody getting shot.
It's one of the most filmed scenes of all time and all movies on people playing poker. It is pretty interesting.
It goes way back.
Let me give you some irony here. You'll find this interesting. You know, we've not been ashamed about, you know, our relationship with the Trumps, and they kind of view us as spiritual advisors and the pulse of the, you know, people who love Jesus. Well, when I took Don Jr. duck hunting, I thought this may be my only chance to get online poker back going, because when Bush was president, the second Bush, he came up with this law where it was not illegal to play poker. It was illegal to put your money in a poker site or take it out. Well, that pretty much ended it. They call that whatever they call Black Friday of poker. Well, look, somebody like me, it killed me. I was making a lot of money doing that. That was an income that I had for 10 years. That's where I got all my cash. So it was just like someone literally had died. It hurt me. So I'm like, well, here's my chance. Because when I was talking to Trump Jr., I was like, if I can get, you know, this bug in his ear, I need to get that online poker back going. Forget the casinos online, but just the poker. I give him my speech thinking he'll see the logic.
Yeah.
He's like, well, no, there's, because he focused on the abuses of it, right, where people who are degenerate gamblers and have lost everything they have on video poker. I'm like, I'm not talking about video poker. I'm actually talking about playing card, but he wasn't familiar with the game. And I thought, now here I am trying to convince someone who, you know, is not necessarily as religious as, you know, like us, but he's like giving me the religious arguments on why we shouldn't be playing poker online. And I was like, okay, this is not working. That's why I brought up the bass fishing thing. It's, look, the best bass fisherman is going to win long term, right? Would you agree with that?
That's correct.
The same bass fishermen pretty much win. They have a thing called the Bass Masters. There's luck involved in each session, each tournament. But if you put the work in, you put the time in, you understand fit, at the end of the day, you're going to win. You're creating your own luck in a way, which is what I'm saying
It's called in the Southern world, know-how.
Yeah, it's the same way.
So we need to end our podcast, and I think the one word to end it on that is genetics.
Genetics.
Well, it's been a curious podcast, but we've discussed what to do with your money and what to do.
To the audience, look, I have no text that outlaws card playing. I have no text about investing, because if it were sinful, because you think about it, life itself and whatever you do with your own funds and all this, you say life itself. There's a lot of ways you can invest. You take chances. There are risks.
You remember Galatians 5? I mean,
you know, life itself is a gamble.
Galatians 5, Paul said the acts of the sinful nature are obvious.
Yeah.
So that means they're obvious. When you're having to build a case for something being sinful, it's usually not.
There are people who possess a certain set of skills when it comes to cards. And
we're back to the gene pool.
If you like your money, you would not sit down with people who have these skills, because guess what? I'm going to work to take your money. And it's legit.
Yeah. All right. So that's the
I've never seen gambling in a list of sins.
It's not gambling if you know you're going to win.
Quit calling it
gambling.
We must stop this now.
Gee whiz.
So we're so glad you guys were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook, and be sure and rate us on iTunes so that other people can know about the podcast.